If you were here last week, we had a guest speaker with us, Tyler Briggs, who dug into God's Word. It was a lot of fun. Open your Bibles real quick. We're digging into 2 Timothy 4:2, going over a series called Use Your Words. And he talked to us last week how every day, on average, people use 15,000 words. So we're looking at, man, how are you using yours? And then how does God's Word tell us to use our words? The verse we're looking at, 2 Timothy 4:2, here's what it says. Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. I'll tell you, that's really not how I'm using my words most times. Most times I'm going out and I'm either trying to make somebody laugh. Maybe I'll encourage somebody. A lot of times, if I'm real honest, I'm putting people down, making fun of people, talking behind someone's back about somebody. That's really how we use our words. And that's not what God's word calls us to. So last week, Tyler hit on this first one, preach the word. Now it's easier for you to look at me and say, hey, yeah, you do that because you do it every week. But God's not just saying, hey, those of you who are in ministry, those of you who work at a church, you guys preach the word. That's to all of us. Preaching the word is not just for professional evangelists or youth pastors or Todd Wagner or whoever it is. It's to you. You preach the word. You are the evangelist that God wants to use. You are the vessel that God wants to use to bring the gospel to someone who's never heard it. How cool is that? Now that can be freaky. What words do I say? And Tyler equipped you. He said, hey, let me give you four verses. It's called the Romans Road. You can look, you can give someone your Bible and just say, hey, read this. This is what God did for you. He sent his son. He died so you can live again. How cool is that? So I challenge you again, look at those verses, know those verses, memorize those verses, equip yourself for when God puts you in a situation to preach the word. Next, it says, be prepared in season and out of season. Sometimes, so like D-Town, last year, D-Town, who was at D-Town? Yeah, no woos. That's okay, yeah, it wasn't that good. Hey, D-Town's coming up soon, it's going to be fun. But last year at D-Town, we split up and we went and we shared the gospel with people. We gave each of you guys a track and said, hey, go tell someone about Jesus. And there were some cool stories about that. So that's still scary. That would be one that's in season when we say, hey, go preach the word. Well, that's an easy command. Yeah, go for it. But there are other times where it's not convenient. Some of those in-season times could be, hey, maybe you're on a mission trip. Man, the whole reason we're here is to preach the word, and it's another country, and I'm never going to see him again, so it's really easy. Or maybe it's at VBS, or at church, or you're at a Christian school. Those seem easy times, but when it's out of season, it's, hey, my family doesn't believe in Jesus, I'm the only one. That's kind of inconvenient. Or, hey, I go to a public school, and I have a friend who talks about Jesus and tries to really love people, and everybody makes fun of him. I'm scared. I don't know what to do. That's out of season. That's when it's hard. But that's what we're commanded to preach the word. And the word we learned is Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. That's what Jesus said. He is the word, and he is life. He is the gospel. That's what we preach. So, some good stuff we learned last week. I hope you guys were listening. I hope you were taking notes. Some fun things that happened in my life recently. My wife and I went puppy shopping yesterday. I know, oh my gosh, girls' hearts are warming and melting. And guys are like, puh, puppies. But they are adorable, okay? My wife and I really want to get an old English bulldog puppy with just a big old fat face and body that just mopes around. They're awesome. And so we had a lot of fun playing with a puppy. The reason we want a puppy is because we have some friends in our community group who just got a puppy, a Shar Pei puppy, and I'd love for you to check out this little puppy. Everybody welcome Boone. Don't clap too loud, but Boone is up here. He's coming here in the back. This cute little dog, Boone. We'll get him up here on stage, and we'll see him here in a sec. Oh, I know. He's just the cutest thing. Just a little ball of fur and skin. He looks like an old man. If you haven't seen a Shar Pei, they have a ton of wrinkles. So let's just, come here, Boone. Come here. This is my friend Josh. Everybody say hi, Josh.
And then everybody say, "Hi, Boone. Look at him. Isn't he precious?"
Okay, so
It's okay.
So, as you know, who's got a dog at home or an animal or something that pees all over the house? Not your little brother. No. We're talking about animals here, okay? So when you're looking at getting a puppy, one thing you have to do is you got to teach it. It is not potty trained automatically. I don't care what your parents say. It will pee and poop all over your living room. And so a puppy needs help. A puppy, you've got to, like, to teach it to go to the bathroom, you got to say, "Hey, go to the bathroom." Not now. But you got to teach it to go outside. You got to teach it to do other things or it's going to run around. One thing, they actually just came from puppy training class. And one thing that he's learned is to sit. Boone, sit. Oh, good job, Boone. Yeah. Yeah, give him a hand. Give a hand for Boone. Yeah. Yeah, and so when he sits, you do a great thing. But what if he doesn't sit? You know, what if, then you got to teach him. And our verse says, with great patience and careful instruction, you teach a little doggy. You teach him. And something else he just learned today. We'll see if he can do it. Boone, Boone, hey, gotta dig for these little guys. Here, sit. Good dog. Now lay down. Yeah. Oh, nope. So we try again. We try and correct him. Boone. Here we go. I got more. Sit. Sit. Come on. Now lay down. No, sit. Sit. Come on. And so we got lay down, I know. And sometimes it's easy and we're like, "Hey, bro, just lay down. Come on over here so these people can see you. Come on. But you gotta correct a little puppy. You gotta do these things. I know, he's precious, right? Hey, he's grunting up here, he's awesome. But, hey, everybody say, "Thank you, Boone." Thank you, Boone. Yes. Yes. So cute. So I know you're all going to want the temptation to watch the puppy leave, but he's adorable. So here's the deal. When you get a puppy, if it pees all over the living room, you got to let it know that it can't do that. You got to say, "No." Whatever you do, whatever the system is, you got to say, "Hey." You basically go and you correct the puppy. This is not how you do it. This is the way you do it, right? The same is true with a child. Same is true with a baby boy or a baby girl. All of us went through phases where we have to be corrected. And it's not just when you're a puppy. It's not just when you're a child. It's all throughout our life. Everybody has things that we need to correct. We all have areas in our lives that we've not submitted before Christ, and we need to be corrected. We don't like that. What are some areas that need to be corrected? Gossip. I do it all the time. Laziness. Disrespecting your parents and authority, teachers. Poor choices in media, what you watch on TV or movies or online. Selfishness. Control. We worry, we stress, we have anxiety, we're angry. We're complaining, over-prioritizing sports over other things. Alcohol, drugs. Law-breaking, immodesty, lust, impurity, materialism, how we use our words, profanity, cussing. There are so many areas. We could talk about how many things that in our lives we have things that we sit in our sin and our death and our flesh, and there are areas that we need to be corrected. But the other thing is we all hate being corrected. Nobody likes someone come up to you and say, "Hey, bro, I think you're wrong. I don't think you're living the right way." When someone comes up to me and said, "Hey, you know what? Even if it's a little thing, like, hey, you could do this better," correcting me, helping me, my first reaction is to go, whoa, just bow up to the guy, give him a chest and say, "I'm taller than you and bigger than you. Stand down." But then I realize, I think about it, that person is helping me. They're loving me enough to say, "Hey, you know what? This is what happened. This is how you came across. I want to lovingly tell you, man, you don't have to do it that way, or there's a better way." Correcting me, like a teacher corrects a student. No. You did that problem wrong, but let me show you how to do it. And some of them are not easy. But there's deep sin in our life, and people have to correct us. We hate being corrected. But what we hate even more than being corrected is correcting somebody else. That freaks me out. I don't like confrontation. I don't like having to go to somebody and tell them they're wrong. Some of you guys might. maybe you're really good at it. Maybe that's not a good thing. But I don't like to go to somebody and just say, hey, look, this is hard for me to say, but I love you enough to say X is in your life. What are you going to do about it? We don't like it. But here's what God's word says right there in 2 Timothy. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct. Rebuke. Encourage with great patience and careful instruction. So this week, we're looking at that word correct. How we can correct the unwise, and we can all be unwise. But what do we do? How do we correct? What does that look like? That word correct, a synonym is reprove, to help someone bring something into the light, to help somebody see something that they're not seeing, to call them out, to correct them, to have them see that they have sin in their life when they're not seeing it. And so how do we do that? We all want, it's easy to think we're correcting, but really straight up judge somebody. Judging is not correcting. My typical answer when I go to correct somebody is, man, he sucks at that. Like, man, why is she acting that way? Like, is he really wearing that? Not he, sorry. Is she wearing that? Sorry, I'm trying to connect with you girls. Guys aren't going to dress immodestly, but girls might. And you just kind of disgustingly look at them instead of lovingly going up and just saying, hey, look, I know you believe in the same Jesus I do. And I want to tell you, you don't have to dress that way. That's how you correct them. But typically, we just talk bad about somebody. We gossip about them behind their back. That's not correcting. So how can we correct? Before we correct somebody else, the first thing we got to do is correct ourselves. We don't want to be like the Pharisees that are in all over the Gospels that Jesus says, hey, you're not getting it. You're the most religious person here, but you do not understand what the Bible is saying. I can act like that sometimes. I can stand up here and preach that, hey, you guys need to do this, when maybe I'm not doing it at all. So we got to correct someone else before we correct ourselves. Just this last week, I had to go before my wife and say, hey, I hurt you. I'm sorry. I had to correct myself, and I had to go before her and ask her forgiveness. We have to do that sometimes. We have to say that we were wrong, we have fault, and then we can go and love others. There's a verse in Matthew where Jesus talks about Matthew 7. We looked at it this summer if you were here for the series on the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 7, 1 through 5 says, do not judge or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First, take the plank out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. This last summer, I had a log with me, and I had it sticking out of my eye. I don't know if you guys remember that. But it looks ridiculous. And so many times, I go to somebody and say, hey, you got this little thing. I don't have anything that's a log. But just imagine, if this is poking out of my eye like this, how ridiculous would I look if I just said, you got a little smudge on your face. You got some pizza. It's ridiculous. But that's what we do sometimes. We have huge areas where people are looking at us and going, bro, you're not living the way Jesus calls us to live, so why are you calling me out like that? Look at yourself before we correct others. Look at where the areas that you need to surrender before the Lord before you go to somebody else. The next thing we do, we talked about a little bit, is we got to correct out of love. Love them. We got to correct them because we love them, not because you're annoyed at them or blaming them. We're not punishing people. We're not correcting them. Sometimes when our parents correct us, it can seem like a punishment, but they love us. They're doing that to teach us. When we correct other people, we do it because we love them, not because we hate them, not because they've done something to wrong us, but because we really feel in our heart, I love this person enough to say something to them that they don't want to hear when they really, really need it. And you got to be ready to take that yourself. We got to love them and correct them. The other thing we do is we get to correct people in private. It's really easy to just go out and in front of a lot of people say, hey, you need to change this about yourself. And then all the attention is on that person. And then, therefore, the attention may be on you or off of you based on insecurity. But you need to go to that brother or that sister and say, hey, here's what I've seen in your life. Let me help you. There's a verse also in Matthew that talks about this. Matthew 18:15. If your brother or sister sins, go, point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. Just go to that person. Say, hey, Jared, I've noticed this in your life, man. I know you don't want to live that way. Here's what the Bible says. Use the words of God and show them. This is what the Bible says, how we're supposed to live. And I'll be honest, I don't live that way sometimes. And if I'm not, call me out on it. But bro, I want to keep you accountable. I want to hold you to something because that's what God's calling us all to. Correct them in private. Correct them in love. And lovingly is, sometimes you have to be forceful, but don't yell at them. What if I had Boone up here and he didn't lay down and I was like, Boone, you kidding me? It doesn't get us anywhere. But when I got a little treat and I just dangle it in and maybe he'll come on down and lay down. And we do it, that verse, let's go back to 2 Timothy 4:2. It says, correct, not by yelling. It doesn't say correct by screaming at them and slapping them in the face and making sure that everybody knows they're wrong. It says with great patience and careful instruction. Maybe they won't hear it at first, but you love them. And here's the thing. We are supposed to correct people. It's the Holy Spirit's job to correct people. Quick verse again, Matthew 18. John 16:8 says the Holy Spirit will convict people of their sin. The Holy Spirit is the one that convicts us. That's another synonym for correct. But we all have the Holy Spirit in us. So check out this verse here in Matthew 18:20. It says, for where there are two or three gathered in my name, there I am with them. We sometimes are the Holy Spirit to other people. We sometimes are those words of wisdom. And so it matters how you're using your words and letting God speak through you. Because when you're there in fellowship, when you're there in your small group and your buddy's struggling with something, Jesus is there with you, speaking through you, speaking truth and love into somebody's life. You're supposed to be that. And God does that through us, and it's so cool. But the other thing is, again, what do I say? You know, if you're supposed to preach the gospel, I don't know what to do. I'm not a pastor. Well, I'm not very encouraging is something you think. I don't know how to help someone and correct them. God's given us an entire book that says, here, use this. Learn this. Study this. These are the words we're supposed to use. Preach the word and correct with God's words. The words that we're supposed to use are God's words coming through us. And so memorize this book, not the whole thing. If you want to, awesome. I would love for you to come back and say, hey, I memorized the whole Bible. That is an undertaking. But know God's word. It's something that I am really bad at. And it's something that I really need to be disciplined in. And so hold me accountable. And I'm going to talk with my small group guys, and we're going to try and get on a system of memorizing scripture and staying in it. There are topical memory systems, where there's a thing called the Navigators. They've created a deal where just on certain topics, something's happening, like your buddy's gossiping or you're gossiping too much. You can say, man, here's some verses where God talks about gossip or materialism or any of the things that we talked about earlier a little bit. Lying, lust, body image issues, whatever it is. Scripture speaks truth into our lives. No matter what I say, it's not going to matter. It does not matter. The words that come out of me, however encouraging they are, will not speak truth to you. God's word speaks truth to us. And it has so many powerful things to say. And sometimes God allows you to go through certain situations so that he can teach you something, so that he can give you a word, a passage in scripture, something that really blessed you and helped you during that time, so that years down the road when someone else is going through a death in their family, is going through a divorce, is going through maybe an eating disorder, whatever it is that has happened in your life, you can love somebody through that and say, hey, this verse helped me in this time. Check this out. Those are the words that we're supposed to use. There's a cool thing that we've made that has some scripture talking about gossip, laziness, disrespecting your parents, poor choices in media, some of that list that I went down. And there's some people on our staff who have compiled a list of just great verses that you can go to topically that speak truth. This is all God's word. It's not a little summary or someone saying some great little thing. It's timeless. It's perfect. And it's all you need. We've got some copies of this that we'll have up here. We'll have some next week too. So if you don't get one this week, we'll have it online. We'll have it available for the leaders. But challenge yourself. Start memorizing these. Look at where you wrestle most on this. Is it materialism? Is it anger? Immodesty? Prioritizing sports instead of everything else? Making sports your god, your idol, whatever it is. And this is not the only thing. If the thing that you wrestle with or someone in your small group wrestle with is not here, write it down. Look for it. Look for scripture that speaks to that. Add to this list and let us know. We'll add it too. And we'll grow together in our knowledge of scripture and how we can use God's word to speak truth in other people and correct them and love them and encourage them. Let me pray. Lord, thank you for your Bible. Thank you for the words that you've given us to encourage us, to strengthen us, to challenge us and correct us when we need it. And thank you that you've given it to us not to hold other people, not to hold over the heads of other people, but to just say, hey, I know you believe this. This is what God is calling us to. And I love you enough to tell you you're not living that way right now. Give us boldness and strength. Not to go to people and judge them, but to lovingly correct them. And Lord, let us be willing to be lovingly corrected as well when we need it, however hard it is. Thank you for these students. Thank you for their love for you. And thank you, Lord, for how much you loved us. Give us a great week. It's in your name I pray. Amen. Love you guys. Thanks for being here. If you want one of these things, come on up. If we run out, we'll have more next week.